Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. It is my pleasure to welcome once again Congressman Mike Kelly. He represents with great distinction the people of my home state, Pennsylvania. It's 3rd District specifically. He is a member of the House Committee on Ways and Means. It is almost always described as the powerful Ways and Means Committee, and he serves on 3 of its subcommittees. He has brought to bear, I think, a really important intellectual argument and proper concern about something that's going on at the moment almost completely otherwise unremarked, and we're delighted to have a chance to talk with him. It's about turning over the management, really the control, of the Internet to some dubious parties, to say the least. Congressman Kelly, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's always great to have you with us, sir.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for what you do, because you're America's wake-up call. And I think that, as you just stated very clearly, sometimes these things happen when we're not looking, and then we look back later and say, why didn't somebody tell me? I would have done something about it. So all we're trying to do is, again, this is another one of those Paul Revere moments. We got to let people know who's coming. 1 if by land, 2 if by sea, and in this case, 3 if by the Internet. We got to be very careful on a discovery that was American-founded but shared with all of humanity, and has done the greatest vehicle for freedom and liberty that the world has ever seen. So we want to make sure that we keep oversight on it.
I want to talk with you a bit about what's afoot here, and then we'll get into your Defending Internet Freedom Act as a measure that's really important to staving off. As you say, this is a train wreck. We can see it coming, but what is prompting this action that would relinquish control, something we've exercised in a very benign way, but nonetheless, as you say, to the great benefit of the entire world? Why are we changing that arrangement?
There's dates that require us re-upping, as it would be. And once we pass those dates, then that creates a problem, because now we have dates that have elapsed, and we say, well, wait a minute, that time has already passed. July of 2015 is a very critical time. I believe it. I'm standing it the right way. But there are times when the government and the oversight the United States has and America has on the Internet and the way we assign numbers and names is going to lapse. And the ICANN, which is the group that follows that, we are going to turn that over to another group of people. We're going to allow other people from around the world to come in and manage the Internet and the way it's run. I think one of the things that we, actually September of 2015, so we're not that many months away. We're about 10 months away from that happening. We've got to make sure, and the Internet community, I think, agrees with us. While they may not agree with everything that we're talking about, we want something that's ironclad that makes sure that we protect the Internet going forward. So on September of 2015, our current agreement will run out, and then at that point, somebody else will be responsible for the oversight of the Internet. And the question is, who fills that vacuum? And the answer to that is some very bad players who have a bad history, a bad track record of defending personal freedoms and liberties around the world. And do we really want them controlling that process? And I think the answer unanimously is absolutely not.
Congressman, this really does cry out for oversight. I was reading in the Washington Post some blather by a fellow by the name of Fadi Chahadeh, who is the president and CEO of this group, ICANN, which is an acronym for basically the control body of the Internet. It sounds, you know, right out of the playbook of the progressives with terms like, shareholder engagement and solidarity and economic progress and distributed governance and polycentric, not top-down. What in practice is afoot here? Who will control the Internet if we wind up relinquishing it to international polycentric governance?
Here's what happens. Whether you're a pro-American or not, I think you look at a discovery that has been absolutely incredible for mankind. I can appreciate what the gentleman's saying, but here's what it comes down to. The Internet community as a whole would agree that we're in a very dangerous footing with this. But anytime, and Frank, you know this, anytime you hear the overall good, the general welfare, the red lights and the sirens should be going off, because somebody's going to try to do something that's not good for the overall good or the general welfare. They're going to morph it into something else. Without the United States oversight, without us being able to take a look, and if we turn this over, and one of the things we don't want foreign governments, we'd rather have non-government entities looking at this and handling it so they're truly neutral. We have to have oversight on it. If we don't have the oversight on it, if we relinquish our leadership position on it, we create a void. We create a vacuum at the top. And it is going to be filled with somebody. And the chances are, the way things go in the world, when the United States steps out of that leadership role and relinquishes what we know to be true and what we know works in the best interest of all humanity, somebody else will fill that void. I guarantee you it's going to be somebody that's going to change it from what it is today to something that we said, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened, and we let it happen. It happened on our watch, and I think part of what we do is to not let that happen.
Right, detrimental to, obviously, individual freedom if it's the Russians or the Chinese or the Islamists, and they've all expressed an interest in being the new, you know, void-filling power. But it's also bad for, you know, entrepreneurialism and the creativity that the Internet, as you say, has spawned all over the world. So talk a little bit about, if you would, Congressman Mike Kelly of the 3rd District of Pennsylvania in the House of Representatives, your Defending Internet Freedom Act, and specifically what it would do to try to stave off such a debacle and, you know, what are its prospects?
Well, I think the prospects, again, Frank, as we go forward, it's the more you learn, the better you can lead. What we're trying to do right now is an educational piece, and this is, again, this is not, this did not come out of this office or out of this staff. This is collectively, after talking to the Internet community, things that we think are serious concerns that, that we all agree on need to be formed in order to come up with this ironclad provision that makes sure that we have oversight on the Internet. So when it comes down to names and numbers, take it as this. You're the Yellow Pages. If I say to you, listen, you can be part of the Yellow Pages, but only if I agree to let you be in the Yellow Pages, I could absolutely eliminate you. If that's your only source of contact and your only source of information, I could eliminate you from being on there. What we're trying to say is we need to keep it open. We need to keep it free. The Arab Spring, by the way, could not have happened without the Internet. We just know that's the way information got out there, and that's what enabled people all over the world to understand what it is that they were trying to achieve. All we're trying to do is collect what the Internet community has told us are their concerns. We ask them to please keep weighing in. This is just an initial step to make sure that there is an oversight that we maintain that ensures for the world that this is kept free and open. It's just that simple, Frank. This is not a difficult piece to understand. And I think you said earlier, when people start drilling down and trying to come up with phrases about what this bill is trying to do, what they're not saying is what this bill is really all about, and that is keeping the Internet free and open for all peoples for all time. That is basically who we are.
Yeah, strongly encourage that, needless to say, and wish you the best. I take it that this is going to be an educational process that will extend beyond the current lame duck session, and we look forward to having further conversations with you, Congressman Kelly, about, you know, what you're trying to do and how important it is, and hopefully progress you're making under the new Republican majorities on both sides of Capitol Hill. Let me just very quickly ask you about one other thing that is not, in some ways, completely unrelated to what you just talked about, the need for accountability and transparency and good oversight in our government. Talk a little bit about what the administration is doing on the Ebola front, Congressman Kelly.
Oh, you know, one of the things we have, the concerns we have with the Ebola situation, and when this first happened, I started looking into it, and our staff started looking into it, who are the really go-to people? We found a doctor by the name of Peter Pio, who was a Belgian doctor who discovered the virus in 1976. So I was able to have about a 30-minute conversation with him to say, what are the concerns? Now, here's my concern. We actually had at one time a great deal of funding for infectious diseases. We've gone away from that. When the new administration came in, we went from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. They took money that was dedicated to infectious disease, and they morphed it into something else, bike safety and things of that nature that they thought were more popular. And after talking to the Dr. Piot, this is a dress rehearsal for other infectious diseases. While this one really is probably so serious and very lethal, we can contain this to where it is right now, but you have to contain it, and anybody that's been there, you have to quarantine. You can't allow them to come back into society. But one of the things that's concerning me is we have not discovered, and keep in mind, we discovered it in 1976. Fast forward now to 2014. We don't have a vaccine yet that would keep them from getting Ebola. So that's very important to healthcare providers, doctors and nurses. You're asking them to go into areas where, and to treat a very lethal infection disease and say, well, go ahead and take care of it. We'll protect you. We'll dress you the right way. We'll give you the equipment that you need. Just go ahead and do it. But we don't have them vaccinated. We don't have them inoculated. And that's the key. We have got to come up with a vaccine.
This is a subject that we would really like to explore with you further because, as you say, that kind of prioritization is important not just for this present danger, but for, you know, the threats of pandemics naturally occurring or perhaps, you know, God forbid, man-caused biological warfare attacks. All of these are areas that require our urgent attention, it seems to me, and we're appreciating, as always, your leadership on them. Congressman Mike Kelly of the 3rd District of Pennsylvania, keep up the good work, sir, and come back to us again very soon, if you would. Next up, Jim Hansen brings us a boots-on-the-ground perspective on the idea of having China inside the wire of our electric grid. That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.